Amen. We want to turn to the word of the Lord this morning. And we're going to conclude what we began last week. Here we go. Remember and rejoice. Thank you, Kathleen. She helped me with the title. I thought, okay, I've got to retitle it. I've got to rename it. And she said, Pastor, why don't I just say Remember and Rejoice Part 1, and then next week you can say Remember and Rejoice Part 2. And I said, that's a great idea. So that's what we're going to do. And this is comes from the book of Nehemiah. You heard Stephen reading this morning from the book of Nehemiah. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful book. So, so encouraging. So we're going to continue this morning as we go, and we're going to bring it to a conclusion. So remember and rejoice. Last week we talked about remember, so of course this week we're going to talk about rejoice. And as we saw in Nehemiah, it's not only being part of God's work. It's not only building a wall. It's not only working together. It is all of those things. But as we saw in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah is also a book of remembrance, a book of remembrance. These long names that you and I gloss over, you and I skip, right? Do we not? Yes, we do. Names are too hard to pronounce. There's so many of them, but God remembers. And when you and I are part of God's work, when you and I are large or small, God keeps a record. God keeps a record. Nehemiah says, these are the closing words of the book. It's a reminder that God always pays attention. God always remembers. Remember me, my God, with favor. And we know that he did. And we know that he does as well. I have the verse for you, but we're going to move on, because there's some wonderful things we're going to look at this morning. But I want to remind you of this verse that I only read for you last week. For God is not unjust. How many of us, when we're doing the best we can, we're trying to help others, and people are ungrateful? Have you ever tried to help someone, they're not grateful? Have you ever tried to help someone, and they just take it for granted? That feels great, doesn't it? Have you ever tried to do things, and you are unnoticed, and you are overlooked, and you are ignored? Or sometimes even your work and your labor and your credit goes to another person. How often does that happen? More often than we would care to remember. All of these things. And this is not just in the work world outside of the church. This happens in church sometimes too, right? I don't know, but I wonder if sometimes all of you cleaners, some of you, you're cleaning the church every few Sundays. It's hard work. You're in the bathrooms. It's hot. It's not pleasant. You're vacuuming and you're cleaning. And you know what? The rest of the church, the rest of us have gone out to eat and we're drinking our cafe latte or something like that. Or worship team, you've come early and you're here while some people are still in their pajamas. And you're here practicing. And you're here preparing. Or tech team, you've come in early and you think, well, I can be here at I'm here at 9 something, and some people can barely get here at 10:30. Don't they know? Here's this wonderful encouragement for each one of us. God is not unjust, because sometimes we feel God is just not fair, right? We struggle with that. But it may be outside of the church also. God takes it all, because all that we do, the Bible says, all that we do, our attitude should be, we do it as unto the Lord. I really mean that. All that you do it as unto the Lord. And the writer to Hebrews says, he will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by serving or by caring for other believers as you still do. So be encouraged. Nehemiah is a reminder. The book of Nehemiah is a reminder that God always keeps a record. My mom and dad, these words echo in my ears all the time. Dad used to say this all the time, and Mom as well. God keeps the record. God keeps the record. God keeps the record. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. So as we look this morning, so that's just a brief reminder of what we were looking at last week. But we go into rejoicing this morning. I was afraid Stephen was going to preach my sermon this morning. when he started. I was afraid. I didn't connect with him earlier. I was afraid, but that's okay too. I think the Lord wants us to see it and hear it. And as you remember, in Nehemiah 6, which for us is a high point, in Nehemiah 6:15, it's this simple verse, without fanfare, in Nehemiah 6:15, Nehemiah, it is written, and so the wall was built. Just boom, done, okay? In the midst of all of these oppressions and obstacles from the enemy. And in 6:15, it just says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul, that's the name of one of the months, in 52 days. Just that simple. And it seems like nothing else is said about it. And then if you go on, you look in verse 7, and there's that big long list. We talked about that last week. You look at chapter 8, and that's Ezra reading the law, a wonderful chapter, which we're not going to look at this morning. Then you go to chapter 9, the Israelites confess their sins. By the way, chapter 9, chapter 9 is a wonderful, wonderful prayer. It's one of the most wonderful prayers in the Bible. And if you have not focused on that before, I encourage you to do that. It's a wonderful prayer. Then we go to chapter 10, and my goodness, it's a whole list of people again. And they are people who have put a seal, and they've said, we are going to obey the Lord. We're going to do what he says to do. Then we go to chapter 11, and oh my goodness, it's a whole bunch of names again, okay? And then we get to chapter 12, and it's a whole bunch of names again, because it's a book of remembrance. But then we get to Nehemiah 12:27. That's where we're going to begin today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah 12:27, and this is what we read in Nehemiah 12:27. All the way from chapter 6, six chapters later to chapter 12, then comes the dedication of the wall. This is going to be saying, God, this is yours. We give it to you. It is your work. And it's going to be rejoicing. That's what we're going to talk about today. So let's look at how it begins. I've chopped up the verses a little bit because there's a lot there. So I hope you have your Bibles and you can read along. But look with me. Here we go. Nehemiah 12:27. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sent for the Levites wherever they lived and brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate the joyous dedication with gladness, with hymns of thanksgiving and singing, accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. Okay, so why do they call the Levites? Because the Levites were trained. The Levites were part of the group that David, especially, God had ordained it. But then David, under the direction of God, David had established worship, worshipers and choirs and instruments to give honor to God in music and in worship. It's an important part. It's an important part of our personal Christian lives. It is an important part of our corporate Christian life together as well. It really is. So here we see this. They bring the Levites in and brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate. It's a joyous dedication with gladness, hymns of thanksgiving, and singing. So look at this, and then we go a little bit further, okay? Then we go further. Then I brought, so they gather them together. By the way, as we look at that, I just want to encourage you, is it only Levites because they're trained who can worship the Lord? I sometimes talk with people who say, my voice is so bad, right? I can't keep a tune. It's better for me not to sing. Listen. If God wants professional, I mean it. If God wants professional and perfect, you and I don't care how skilled you are, you might as well shut up and keep your mouth closed right now. Guess why? Because God has angels in heaven who sound a whole lot better than you. And they can play instruments a whole lot better than you and a whole lot better than I can as well. But that's not the purpose here. If God wants perfect and God wants professional, it has nothing to do with perfect and professional. But these were people, as we're going to see in just a minute, what was going on in their hearts. But they were prepared. And I think that tells us, that should tell us something. I think sometimes we come in and we are so unprepared, aren't we, for gathering together with God's people. We're so scattered. We're so, maybe we've been this and that and whatever. And we come in, we're just kind of, Or sometimes, don't get mad at me, but I want to say it, okay? Especially, so if you came in after 10:30 this morning, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all of us, because probably all of us at one time or another may have come in late. But I will say this. How many of you, when you come in late, for whatever reason, are just ready to worship the Lord and you're so happy? Almost never, right? We're almost always kind of, wait, okay, they started singing, but wait, I got to sanitize my hands first. And I've got to, whatever, I need my tissue. Well, wait, got to make sure my phone's turned off and whatever. I want to encourage you. I really do. So if you feel a spirit of condemnation, that's not from me. Well, what I want to do is encourage you in this. If you want to receive from God everything that He has for you, I encourage you, come in prepared and ready. And the Levites, when they come and they gather, one of the things that sets them apart is that they're prepared to worship. They're prepared to worship. So let's go a little bit further and let's look at it together. So they've gathered them. And then on the day of the dedication, here's what Nehemiah does. Okay? Then I brought the leaders of Judah up on top of the wall, and I appointed two large choirs that gave thanks. Okay, that's what it means right there. I've added that. Two large choirs that gave thanks. Get the picture. Okay? One went to the right on the wall toward the dung gate. Hoshaiah, and half the leaders of Judah followed Ezra, and some of the sons of the priests with trumpets. Boo-boo! Whatever, okay, it was loud, okay, and his relatives, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe went before him, because here's Ezra, one of the leaders, Ezra and Nehemiah together, so that's on one side, but Nehemiah's part of it too. The second choir went to the left, and I, Nehemiah, you all think this is not very inspired. You're going to be so inspired in about 2 minutes. Stay with me. The second choir went to the left, and I followed it with half the people along the top of the wall, past the Tower of Ovens, to the broad wall above the Gate of Ephraim, by the Old Gate, the Fish Gate, the Tower of Hananel, the Tower of the Hundred, to the Sheep Gate. They stopped at the Gate of the Guard. You say, hey-ya, why are those in there? We're going to see why. Do you know where else we've read all of these gates? Chapter 3. What were the gates that were repaired? These gates. All of these great gates. That's why it's in there. This is the work of God. This is what God has done. And Nehemiah makes sure to include the work of God in that. And then we go, so they stopped at the Gate of the Guard. What happens next? We're going to read it all and then talk about it. The two great choirs, that means there were a whole bunch of them, okay? The two, it wasn't a soloist. The two great choirs stood in the house of God. So did I and half of the officials accompanying me, as well as the priests. And then what happens? The singers sang with Jezrahiah, their leader. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. You're wondering where the title came from? Here you go. Here's our title. And they rejoiced because God had given them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. There's your title. Now let's talk about this. You will be so encouraged this morning. When Nehemiah says, I appointed two great choirs, okay, the two great choirs stood in the house of God. You know I don't speak Hebrew, but I do some research. Todah is the name. And you know what it means? That word is translated thanks. So it's two, if you want to think about it, it's two great thanks, giving thanks. That is really how you could translate it. And when it says choir, giving thanks, okay, ready for this? It means literally an extension of the hand, usually in adoration. Specifically, it's not just a group of people that are good at singing. It's a group of worshippers, a group of worshippers. They're not just singing songs. When you and I gather together on Sunday morning, or when you're in your home and you're singing, or you're listening to your whatever we listen to, and you're singing, but especially when we gather as the people of God, as a choir, we're not professional, but we're a great choir. We are a group of worshipers, and literally it means with extended hand, an extended hand to the Lord. And this picture, I hope you get it, because sometimes people, or I don't know this song, I'm not going to sing. It's not about singing, brothers and sisters. It's about worshiping. It's about expressing what's in our hearts to the Lord. And Nehemiah gathers a group of people who are grateful and thankful for what God has done in their lives, in their city, on the gates, in the walls. And they gather before the Lord and they sing. And they sing with all of their might. They're a great, great choir. And they play. And they blow the trumpets. And they strum the lyres. And they do all of that. But it's not just the choirs. Look at what it says. Even the women and children. Does that mean that women and children don't usually rejoice? It's not what it means at all. Nehemiah highlights that because what it means is everybody's involved in the worship. Parents, I want to encourage you this morning. When we are worshiping together, you know your children, you know your kids. Think about how you can encourage your children to be part of the worship when we worship. When I was growing up in Singapore, so Dad was always on the front. He was seated on the front. Mom was always playing the piano. She was the pianist, okay, so she was always playing, and my sister and I were seated on the front row, wiggling, usually, because that's what we did, but we had to behave, and Mom knew, okay, I was too young to read. I was a slow learner. I was, and then when I finally started reading, I couldn't stop, So Mom tried to figure out, how can I get my children involved in worship? And do you know what I had to do, what we had to do early? I still remember it so well. Of course, pretty soon I learned the songs, okay? I learned the songs, and I would sing along, but I still couldn't write and I couldn't read. But you know what I had to do? Because in those days, so inspiring, we always sang from a hymn book. How many of you grew up singing from hymn books? Yes? Okay, look, that's a whole bunch of us. Rest of you, you don't know anything about that. And it would be page 242. Oh, victory in Jesus. I still remember that. 240 or 242. We haven't sung that one in a while. And do you know what I had to do? I knew my numbers, and I had to write down the number of every song that we sang. It was just one of the ways that we got involved. But parents, I want to encourage you and invite you. How can you bring your kids into worship? How can you make them part of worship? Because let's be honest, our children can spend an hour and a half running back and forth on a football pitch or playing tennis. Now, you're going to say, Pastor, you're meddling in my business now. I mean it. Really. They can run around, they can do this and that, but they can't stand for 20 minutes when we're worshiping the Lord on Sunday morning? I think they can. I don't say that to make anybody feel bad. I say that to encourage you. If our children and if others, if they feel like this is just for grown-ups, really, I really mean this, if they feel like this is for the adults, they will miss out on the blessing that God has. Because Jesus wants to bless children also. He does. And very often, you know what? Very often, children's hearts are even more tender than our hearts are to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I remember a few years ago, Chaco. When Chaco was bringing some of the young Nepali kids, definitely not Christian. Not Christian. No Christian background at all. And it was around Christmas time. Chaco may not remember this at all. I'm not sure. But one of the young girls, I think maybe she was 10 years old, maybe, or younger. She was standing over there, and we were singing, and we were worshiping the Lord. She had never heard the songs before. Jesus was not in her heart. But as she stood there, do you know what was happening to her? The love of God was touching her heart, and as she stood there and we were worshiping the Lord, she had tears in her eyes and she was crying because for the first time in her life, the love of God in a gathering had touched her hearts. So parents, I want to encourage you. And young people, that if you're here this morning, I want to encourage you too. God wants to bless you. And so often that blessing and that healing and that strengthening comes in times of worship. It really does. It comes in times of worship. How many of you, in a wonderful time of worship, God did more in that time of worship in your heart, maybe even than in the sermon that came after the time of worship? That happens sometimes, doesn't it? So I just want to encourage you. I don't want anybody to feel guilty this morning or whatever, but I just want to encourage you in that. And here it says that even the women and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar as they were worshiping the Lord. I think it's interesting that we see here that they were worshiping. It was so loud that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Worship is not always loud, but it's not always quiet either. It's not. It's not. And I think we need to learn and to step out of our comfort zones and express more openly worship and praise to the Lord. I really do. Don't you think so? Amen. Amen. We should, and we do. I hope I don't bother you. If I'm bothering you, you let me know. I'll go stand in the back of the church. But you'll see me up here, and as you'll notice, a lot of times I'll clap really loudly, right? Somebody told me one time it bothered me, but I think they had a problem in their heart. In fact, I know they had a problem in their heart. And so I stopped. and so I did like that. Do you know why I sometimes clap so loudly? I'll be really honest with you. I want to express my praise to the Lord. But my voice, I cannot praise the Lord and sing as loudly as I want to and then also preach. Can't do both anymore. I could when I was younger. Can't anymore. And so sometimes I'll just clap and I'll wave my hands because I want to express worship to the Lord. And the picture that we see here is of a demonstrable expression of worship. Something that people could see. Something that people could hear. The joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. So I want to ask you something this morning. By the way, I hope our neighbors over there doing yoga, I hope they hear us. I do. And I hope we disrupt their yoga just a little bit. In fact, I hope we disrupt their yoga a lot. A lot. Now I'm just being mean. But I do. I want them to feel the presence of the Lord. But why is this important? It says their joy was heard from afar. So I ask you something this morning. Who heard the joy of Jerusalem from afar? Who heard it? First of all the Jews and all those who are in Judah heard. We're praising the Lord. God has done a great thing. Who else heard the joy of Jerusalem from afar? Who? Their enemies. Their enemies heard it. I think Tobiah heard it. I think Sanballat heard it. I think Geshem the Arab heard it. The enemies, because the enemies were pretty close by, weren't they? They weren't very far away. So here's what we're going to get to as we look at this morning. I believe their enemies heard it too. And why is that important? Psalms 8:2. From the lips of children and infants. Do you mean Micah? I don't think that's what the Bible means, although I hope Micah becomes a worshiper as he grows up. What it means is those that are childlike before the Lord and depending on Him. But look at what it says. From the lips of children and infant, you have ordained or prepared or perfected. That's what that word means. You have ordained praise because of your enemies. Why? To silence the foe and the avenger. The foe and the avenger, it's not flesh and blood. It's not people. Do you know what praise does? Do you know what loud expressions of praise do? Do you know what wholehearted praise does that you express with all of your being and all that you can? It silences the enemy. And you know what the Bible says? You know what one of his names is? The accuser of the brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible says. How many of you have felt accused? How many of you have heard, you're not a good parent? You're not a good mother. You can't do this. You can't do... What do you think you're doing? That's what Nehemiah and the people heard all the time. These pathetic Jews. What do they think they're doing? Do they think they can rebuild the wall? What are they... Oh, they can't do this. They can't do that. And the joy that they expressed silenced the accuser. Some of you this morning... Receive it in love and encouragement this morning. You are facing the accuser. You are facing a foe. You are facing an avenger that's so big in front of you. And it's just a roar. It may be a roar of pain. It may be a roar of fear. It may be a roar of cancer. It may be a roar of doubt. It may be a roar of hopelessness or even suicidal thoughts or anyone or turmoil or any one of these things. That's the voice of the enemy. Do you want to silence the voice of the enemy? Start praising the Lord. Start praising the Lord. Start saying, start praising the Lord. Start praising the Lord. You have established praise because of your enemies. And you know what encourages me? Here you are standing facing this foe that is so much bigger than you, right?
Well, I better call Pastor Jen to come help me because this enemy is too big for me. Maybe I call some of the pastors in the Philippines to help me pray because this enemy is too big for me.
No, the enemy is not too big. From the lips of children and infants, you, God, has established praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I don't care how small you are. I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how much of a baby Christian you are or how little you know or how great the foe and the avenger in front of you. God has established praise to come from your heart. Praise to come from your lips. And when you and I do, the enemy shuts up. The enemy shuts up. He has to shut up. And you say, well, why doesn't God do that? Because God says, I've won the victory. I give it to you. I put it in your hands now. I put it in your heart now. I put it in your mouth now. You speak praises. Because when you and I speak praises, we get our eyes off our enemies. We get our eyes off our problems. We get our eyes off the foe and the avenger. And we get it off of that. And instead, we start looking at our great and glorious God. And in Him, we shall overcome. In Him, we are victorious. And God has ordained the weakest one of you, the smallest one of you, the most overwhelmed one of you this morning, to say, oh God, you're a good God. God, I praise you. Lord, I don't see the answer yet, but you're my Jehovah Jireh. You're my Jehovah Nissi. You're my Jehovah Shalom. You are all of these things. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I believe this whole description is included here. Amen? Amen. Praise is powerful. Worship is warfare. Thanksgiving is therapeutic. How do you like that alliteration? Amen. Thank you. I called upon my English training for that one. But it's true. Let me say it one more time. Praise is powerful. Worship is warfare. Thanksgiving is therapeutic. And there's a whole bunch more than that as well. Amen. Now, let's get even more encouraged. Nehemiah is the one who organizes the worship, right? He divides people into two great choirs, the Levites, but the people as well. And then instruments playing, they gather at one spot. Here's Jerusalem, here's the wall and all the gates around. They gather at one spot, then they break into two. And both choirs at the same time go up onto the wall. And then they walk around the wall. And then they gather at the house of God. And then boy, oh boy, they have a praise meeting. Amen? And what else do they do? Let me back up. What else do they do? And they offered great sacrifices, and they rejoiced. I want to ask you something this morning, very, very specifically. Why do they do what they do on this day of rejoicing and giving praises? Why do they do all of these things? The answer is in Nehemiah. Do you remember their enemies, those people that were surrounding them, that mocked them, that had threats against them, that were going to destroy them? Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Ready? Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were rebuilding the wall. He flew into a rage. He mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the powerful men of Samaria, "What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, remarked, "That stone wall would collapse if even a fox walked along the top of it." Do you see why they did what they did? Can they rebuild the wall? Yes, they can, in 52 days. Will they offer sacrifices? Yes, they will. Great sacrifices. Will a fox knock over the wall if it walks on it? No, it won't. In fact, two great choirs and all the leaders and all the musicians and all the people stomp along the wall, and it stood and it held. This is why they did what they did. This is why they sang as they sang. This is why they praised as they praised. The words that the enemy says to you, God will turn back on the enemy. Nehemiah said, "Hear us, O God, for we are being mocked. Make their insults return on their own heads." He's not being vindictive. He's just calling God's judgment on the enemy. And remember, it's not about people, right? Before you think, whoa, bloodthirsty. Nope, it's not about flesh and blood. It's about the enemy. It's about the enemy. Your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is not the one that you can see. Your enemy is unseen. He may be working through people, but he's the unseen enemy. However, the weapons of your warfare are not flesh and blood, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. You say, "Pastor, are you sure about this?" I'm sure about this. Let me give you a verse. Oh, I've got another sermon coming out of this, because we're going to talk about Jehoshaphat, but we don't have time to talk about Jehoshaphat. That's a good one, isn't it? We're going to talk about Jehoshaphat next week. How about that, Karen? So you read 2 Chronicles 20, but we're not finished yet. Look at this. I want you to see what Jesus did. So here's Jesus. We're going to close with, we're going to close with this morning, and then we're going to praise the Lord a little bit. Amen? We've got time. Here's Jesus. Why do you and I exult in praise? Why do you and I give a loud voice to praise? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Look at what Jesus did. Jesus was arrested. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was back there. Melrose, maybe you'll need help on the easy worship back there. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was stripped of his clothes. Jesus was spat upon. Jesus was put out in front of everyone as they walked by to make a mockery of him. And he was mocked. He was mocked. Now, look at what it says in Colossians 2:14 and 15. Here's what Jesus did. You ready? Here's what Jesus did. He canceled the record of the charges against us and opposed to us, and he took them away by nailing them to the cross. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he disgraced them. See, they thought they were disgracing Jesus. He disgraced them by making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Brothers and sisters, when you choose to praise God, you defeat the enemy. You triumph over him. It's not so much about focusing on the enemy. It's about focusing on God. And Jesus went to the cross. Everything that comes against you, Jesus defeated it. And what the enemy thought he would do by making a mockery of Jesus, what did Jesus do? He turned it around. And he mocked and defeated the enemy so that you and I might have victory. So that you and I might overcome. So that you and I might not live in fear. So that you and I might receive everything that the Lord has for us. This is one of the reasons we praise. This is one of the reasons we lift our voices. This is one of the reasons we say, I will exalt in the name of my God. Yes, I'm a quiet person. I'm just praying in my heart. Devil can't hear you if you pray in your heart. When you pray out loud, you silence the enemy. You silence the enemy. And we see this beautiful, beautiful picture here. Jesus returns their insults on them. When we praise the Lord, when you praise the Lord. Stephen, you can go ahead and come forward and start playing. So we just want to take a little bit of time to praise the Lord. We already have this morning. God was already leading us in worship. But we're going to praise the Lord just a little bit this morning. And I'm going to invite you and encourage you. Worship team, just come ahead as well. I'm going to invite you and encourage you to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. Do you see the answer yet? Well, Jehoshaphat didn't, but they praised the Lord. Do you know what you're going to do yet? You may not know, but you can praise the Lord. You may not know which way to go, but you can praise the Lord. And your praise silences the voice of the enemy. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to close by praising the Lord. If you're a little bit tired, you can sit. It's okay. But you've been sitting for a while. I want to invite you to stand. Stephen, we can sing some of the same songs we've sung before. We don't mind at all. But let's praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's how we're going to close. That's how we're going to close this morning, by praising the Lord. I'd like the joy of Jerusalem to be heard far off. Amen. Okay, Stephen.
The reason.
Oh.
are. How great you are. Hallelujah. 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 How great you are. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh God, we your people praise your name. God, we your people glorify you. We set our eyes upon you. You are our Lord and God. You are our Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
You are our Jehovah Nisi.
Amen.
You are our Jehovah Rapha.
Amen.
You are our Jehovah Shammah. Oh God, you are our God. And we, your people, we praise your name.
Amen.
We praise your name. We praise your name. Lord, we are infants and children before you, but you have ordained praise from our mouths, as weak, as simple, as little as we are. And we praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Dearly beloved, I encourage you this week, if you have not been doing it, get some place where you can speak out loud and praise the Lord every day, when the voices start coming, praise the Lord out loud, and the voice of the avenger and the foe will be silenced, and the voice of God's people, the joy of Jerusalem, will be heard from afar. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great week of praise and victory and overcoming in the Lord. See you next week. Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20. Amen. God bless.